Let's get it. Let's hide that. All right, let me come back into focus real quick. Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is an impromptu live stream. Let me see if y'all can hit these gunshots. If y'all can hear those, put a one in the chat. Right now. I see we got some questions in here going on. Gabe, what up? I work a different shift, so I was like, man, let me try to go live in the middle of the day. All right, cool. Everybody can hear the gunshots, man. Like I said, I'll have my phone on me, so I'll know if you guys send me a resume. One of my friends may be joining the live stream. She does what I do, but she's much better than me. And we've been trying to do this like live resume review thing for a while. So that's what we plan to do. But while I'm on here right now, if you're in the chat right now, go on and hit the like button, thumbs up. Matter of fact, also subscribe, hit all so you can be notified when I'm going live. Appreciate you, Gabe, for the super chat. Let me go ahead and show his comment real quick. But yeah, that's what this thing does. It's focusing on this mic more than me. Let's see something. All right, that should be better. It's looking better on my end. It may be choppy on YouTube's end. Yeah, on my end is looking good. I don't know how it's coming through broadcasting streamer wise. So the replay will probably be a higher bandwidth. Just, you know, FYI to everybody. All right, appreciate that. So first question we had was from Platinum Profits. They are saying, I'm trying to get into cybersecurity, but right now I got a temp tech job doing hospital charts. How do I leverage that into cybersecurity entry-level job? Oh, well, that's a loaded question. Number one, cybersecurity is freaking huge, right? So the first thing to figure out is what would you actually like to do in cybersecurity? And since you are already working in healthcare at a hospital, you actually have a leg up to where you could possibly niche down to do things that are security related in a hospital setting. So I would advise you possibly to find the people who do security at the hospital. And this could vary from different roles. And ask them what they do and see if you're interested in it. Because I'm not all the way familiar with everything they do in the hospital, but you do have, of course, the biggest one is HIPAA. Then you have electronic health records, depending on what system that you use. All those things need to be in compliance. Hospitals, really anything with healthcare right now, has really been getting hit hard with attacks, especially ransomware. It seems like I'm seeing something every other day when it is related to a hospital being taken down by some type of threat actor. So that's one way I would start there. As for you just trying to get an entry-level job, you also have to work on skills while you're doing that. So you need to build pretty much like a SWOT analysis, trying to see what your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are. Well, you really don't have to do a SWOT analysis. Take the T out. So we're going to do SWO. and that's what we're going to check out when it comes to what your current skill set is. And if it's not up to par, then you're going to have to work on that. And if you're listening right now, you see the ticker is going through. One of the places I partner with has been Course Careers. Course Careers has this IT course by Josh Matacore that is affordable and has helped a lot of people get their first start in IT. I've been preaching to people, especially on LinkedIn, hey, get some entry-level IT skills and maybe just get an entry-level IT role. And entry-level IT role does not necessarily mean you have to go do help desk where you answer calls every day. There are other things you can do that could be entry-level to have a lower barrier to entry versus trying to go entry-level in cyber, which has become very competitive. Remote work has dried up a little bit. So I would check that out. Use my link and use my code to get $50 off. It'll be in the description and it'll be pinned to the comment once this live is over with. But I hope that answers your question. And also, Gabe, if you're not busy, you can come up. I can shoot you the link. All right, we got William Weaver. He says, I'm in help desk right now. I have no degree and from UK, 8 months in help desk. What should be my next step to get into cybersecurity? Okay. Now, I don't know, are you currently in the UK or not? But a lot of people in help desk have already been doing some cybersecurity related things. I have some clients right now that been doing help desk, but they realize, oh, I've been doing a lot of stuff with identity and access management. Oh, I've been doing all this stuff with system administration. I've been doing cloud stuff. So first thing is, like I just told the other person, it's kind of review what your day-to-day is, maybe some highlights of things that you completed, and take those skills that you already know now. Like, for example, let's say, for instance, you do password resets, account lockouts. Maybe you help people access network folders. You control permissions, you know, role-based access. Type those skill sets into Indeed. And the reason why I say Indeed does a better job at filtering these more than LinkedIn does. And there are other job search sites, but these are the ones that I use. Put them in quotation marks and see what type of jobs that pop up. You'll find out that you're more qualified for a lot more roles than you think you are just by doing a simple search like that. But don't focus on the title as much in the beginning. Focus on the skill and then see where that gets you. Okay, so Platinum Prophet says he wants to start help desk or something. Well, I kind of answered that already about you maybe getting some skill sets. You also don't just have to do course creators if you don't want to. They have a lot of free things that you can learn from online to where you can get some bare minimum skills. You can check out my guy Kev Tech's Udemy course, or you can just check out his YouTube channel in general. I'll book a call with Kev Tech, and he can help you out with getting that first help desk role. Let's see. Okay, so I just answered him. All right, here goes another guy. Mubarak M. Hey, I've been working in healthcare IT for 5 years, and I do hold a master's in computer application degree from India. And it is now that I have decided to pursue MS in CyberSec this September in UK. Congrats on that. I don't really know. Oh, here's the next question. How challenging would it be for me to head start to a career in CyberSec, and what would be your advice for someone like me? Being that you're in India, I don't know. I've worked with plenty of people in India from jobs. I know it's a little bit different over there. So my advice, typically a lot of my advice is more so catered to US-based people. I mean, I can tell you similar things, but I don't know how it is as far as, like, for example, me, like for you, you already have like a skill set. So it'll be networking, trying to see what type of projects you worked on, really finding like on those teams. Altogether, I think my advice is going to sound a lot real repetitive today, because truth be told, it's simple, but it's not simple. It's simple as far as the advice I give. It's not simple to implement because of how hard it's been to get in. But I'm not too familiar with the scene in India as far as like people getting in. I do know they have like a lot of capable people over there that are in cyber. I work with some, and they're great. So I would say kind of you already have a leg up. I would say probably just try to niche down instead of trying to cast a wide net to catch a big fish. So niche down since you're already in healthcare and just go into healthcare cybersecurity. Oh, okay. That's cool, Gabe. Let's see. I'm in college right now for cybersecurity, and I'm in a Springboard boot camp for cyber. Do you think having 3 certs before I graduate makes sense? I'm trying to be a cybersecurity analyst and a security engineer. Yeah, since you're in school, man, you have one of the benefits over a lot of people, and that would be for you to go ahead and get an internship. If you're in college right now, you need to be applying to internships right now. That's going to be my best advice for you. If you get an internship, you will pretty much sign, seal, deliver, and have experience. I don't know what year you're into college, but get that internship and go to different companies, make a good impression, get that skill set that's also paid. And now you got that on your resume. You'll have pretty much like no problem finding a job once you're done. On top of you having your certifications and being in the boot camp, you'll be an impressive applicant. All right, we got one resume in. We'll get to that in a second. Let's see. I have been preparing for search like SecPlus, getting thorough with networking concepts, and also signed up for a course offered by C-Square. That's good. Yeah, getting declined. I mean, even with me being a decade in, I still get rejections. I mean, it's never going to stop. You're not going to shoot 100%. Like, we didn't see, I mean, some of the best shooters, James Harden, not score. We didn't see Steph Curry not score. You know, every night not going to be your night. Whoa. After three racist interviews, how do you find the strength to continue on without taking those white male ignorance personally? I personally have not been in that situation. I would say try to focus on the good. If you want to scope out a company. So here's the thing, guys. A lot of us aren't doing research. We're just applying to companies. It's very important that you research the company, look at diversity, look at reviews of people talking about the company and see how it is. You'll really get a good feel for the company, maybe in that first screening based on how you and the recruiter interact, and then maybe that first interview that's not technical with somebody on the team. That'll let you know kind of what the vibe is there. If the vibe is wrong, I wouldn't go for it. I would just say, you know, I'm good, because you can pick up on that. In the past, I felt like I don't feel like the interviewers were racist. Maybe I felt like they were prejudiced sometimes. I don't know. But that could have just been me being insecure at the time, not having a job, really wanting a job, and just feeling like, oh, they didn't want me because of that. But that's what I felt sometimes. I felt like that because most of the people I interview with were white. So I understand that aspect of it. But I don't think that necessarily mean like everybody's racist. But I'm not downplaying your situation. I'm just talking about from my experience when I went through so many different interviews in like 6 months. What is healthcare cybersecurity, sir? I work in healthcare now. Okay. There probably are some certifications related to certain maybe compliance frameworks for healthcare. Let me see. I could probably do that while I'm talking right now. Let's look. Okay, so check this out. Let me try to share this, present this page, and we'll probably try to do it like this. So I found this for Palo Alto site. And it was a, what is it? IoT certification? Yeah, introducing medical IoT security, most comprehensive zero trust solution for medical devices. And hey, I want to say right now, I've said this in the past, probably episodes, but IoT, smartware, all these different things that are coming out now is a whole new lane for people to niche into and for cybersecurity. So the shout out to Chris Cochran for this, the richest are in the niches. Try to niche down. If you can learn to be a subject matter expert about this stuff before it really gets to market, you can earn your price. I think that's a big one. Let's see. Let me see if it's another one, though, because I don't know that much about this thing. Let's see. Healthcare cybersecurity. So, yeah, that's what I would research. Now, somebody asked your question right here. Certified Associate in Healthcare Information and Management. Okay. Maybe that's something you should look into if you're in healthcare. I've never reviewed it. I'm going to look into it some more. Maybe I could bring somebody on that actually has it. Let's see if we can find something else. Healthcare data analytics. Oh, cool. Look, Coursera has a course on this. Shout out to Coursera. They really got a course on about everything. So, yeah, to answer your question, these are some things. So that's kind of one of the ways you could do this is you go through. And let me see. I thought I hit stop sharing. Okay, I think I did a bit. All right, you go through and you research. Are have CVs, credits, and name more interesting to recruiters or search for someone with little experience? Neither. The skills are more important than anything. Unless you're going government route, that's when you'll need the certifications. But typically government will say, must have this or be able to get it within, I think, like, what, 3 months or something like that. So it's important, but not like so important. I just moved from help desk to security. Soft skills are super important. Build relationships across all IT teams. Be the go-to person for them. That is part of what I did to move over. Listen, hang on.
Sensational.
That's facts, man. Because I have a client right now where he has been helping the security team for like probably like 6 months now. And soft skills. And I think they may want to actually bring him on the security team from what he's been previously doing, like working in a knock. So you are absolutely right. And that's a big, I want to pause on that. I want to talk about this real quick. A lot of times when I'm meeting with clients and they're working somewhere actively, I say, hey, have you networked within your company? Sometimes I say, nah, I haven't, or this and that. Or maybe they just kind of put your head down. You won't get far at a company or really in your career if you just put your head down and do work. And I say that because even promotions are based on who they like and how visible you are. So you have to, if you want to, I'm not going to say climb a corporate ladder, because everyone doesn't want to be like the guy at the top of the food chain. But if you do want to have like a good career where you can know multiple people and go around to different companies based on just your namesake and the people that work with you, they are good workers, you got to network. That's the only way. And you'd be surprised a lot of times. So here's the key. A lot of times they don't even sometimes have the money for the bodies for this. But if you can volunteer and you learn the stuff and shadow it, you can put it on your resume. That's what we do with my client. Like, he did a lot of good stuff for them. So I would just say that, like, start worrying about just putting your head down and get out there and network. So shout out to Milestone the Millions for that comment. DJ say, I'm currently a cybersecurity analyst in a SOC. I hold a BS and I just recently got my MS. I have 2 years of experience. My goal is to become a cybersecurity engineer, but not sure how. I think you do know how. I think you do know how. I want to say, I guess this is like Dodge. Let me hit this real quick. All right. So check this out. When you work in a SOC, it's all these different log sources that are going in, all these different platforms that are being used. One thing of being an engineer, you could be an engineer over one of those platforms. That's literally, you could, another thing, you could niche down to that platform. For example, in past SOCs, we've worked with Tanium, CrowdStrike, McAfee EPO. We work with Splunk Phantom, Splunk ES, Imperva, all these different things. You can learn how to work on those. Or you can be, maybe if you want to be security engineer, you can work, learn how to do detections, or you can learn everything. So I think you got the skill set. If you really like to fix on things, check that out. If you want to kind of know a different path on maybe being an engineer, check out my guy Tay on Tech, or check out Day Cyberwalks. Day went from working in the SOC to being a cloud detection engineer. And that came from like self-studying and just learning and doing projects. So that's one of the ways. Whatever role you want to do, just go ahead and research the job description. That's going to give you a syllabus on what to do to land a role, or not necessarily land it, but to be able to be confident in applying to those roles. Cloud security versus IAM administrator. I mean, doing what in cloud security, right? Because you can do, technically, if you're doing IAM in the cloud, you're technically doing cloud security in some type of facet of it. Hard to not get ejected, but keep going, JoJo. Look at that. He's giving y'all some game. Build a relationship with the sysadmin. Can you get a job in cybersecurity with just a master's in cybersecurity? Okay, there are no absolute answers. So for me, I can't just say, no, you can't. But I would say, if you just have a master's, you better either intern or have some really solid projects that you worked on doing your master's to highlight your value. And that's the key too. When you're going through bachelor's and master's programs, write down every project that they have y'all do. And it don't necessarily have to even be in a class in your major, because at work, we're still going to work with different teams and different functions. Like Mouse on the Million said about soft skills. I have to reach out to different departments all the time that I don't typically talk to, but I have no soft skills to interact with them. A lot of times you're going to see on these job descriptions, you know, must be able to cross collaborate with multiple departments, must be able to do this, must be able to do that. Showcase it, show not tell. So I hope that answers your question. The answer is yes. It's hard if you don't have any skill sets, but you have to just show your value. Always show your value. Okay, I think I kind of answered this already with some of those certifications. I like also I have a friend. Matter of fact, Kim, I'm sending this to you after this. I'm gonna put it at this time frame that everybody, y'all need to put in the chat and say, hey, Kim, we want you to come on. My friend has been doing Epic Security for a while now, and I've been trying to get her on the podcast. We've known each other since we've been what, 11 or 12? and she don't want to come on. So y'all put in the chat, hey, Kim, we want you to come on so you can talk about Epic Security. All right. So I want y'all to put that in the chat. Let's see. Okay. Oh, shout out to you for following me on Twitter. Yeah, if y'all want to follow me on Twitter, hang on, let me put another banner over here real quick. Also, let me know if y'all enjoying the live stream. I remember I said I was going to do more live streams. I'm just trying to get in my flow of the best way to give you guys value and to link up with you guys. I've also been saying in some of these episodes, I do got some in-person episodes coming up. Like, be on the lookout. Those are going to be fire. I actually want to do a live show where it's like in person, where people can come and, you know, chop it up with us and stuff like that. So if y'all interested in that, let me know. I have to figure out how to work it, price it. You know how this go. He says, I commented on your Twitter post last night, the first deal not being the best. I have no experience. I took my first offer. I should have leveraged, but the second offer I got, but jumped the gun. Yeah, so you probably had FOMO. You probably had fear of missing out. And it's tough, right? I'm assuming that the first offer is more than what you were already making. I didn't really start negotiating until probably about a couple years. No, I lied. I started negotiating about 2018. I tried to negotiate when I first moved out to Dallas, but they didn't have the wiggle room, but I still tried to. The worst thing they could say, no. Everybody listen up. When you get an offer, do not be afraid to negotiate. They're not going to say, okay, we don't want you because you want money. Most of them are really counting on you to negotiate. They expect you to negotiate. It's not about what you wear for what you negotiate. Shout out to the job father. He has these tweets he says all the time about saying, like, you know, you should be uncomfortable with your salary match you're asking for. Say it in the mirror so you can practice it. Now, the thing is, you have to dress it up when you are asking for the amount you want and showcase why in the counter offer why you deserve it. And a lot of times they may say, okay, we can't do this. Okay, let's say, for instance, you currently make $50,000. And also, if the recruiter asks you on the phone what you currently make, that's none of their business. That has nothing to do with the job you're applying for. Remember that too. Let's say that the job you're currently making $50,000, and the job that you got offered you $65,000. Now, you may take this out, that's $15,000 more, but what you don't know is they had a range to pay that role $85,000, right? So if you're not familiar with figuring out what their range is in the beginning, you can always ask in the very first screen, hey, you know, what is the range for this, for this role? Or you can say, hey, I've been interviewing for roles that I've been paying between, you know, $80,000 and $100,000. Or you can also say, you know, what would be the ideal salary amount that you pay your ideal client? And you can go from there. And also, if you're doing multiple interviews, when you get one offer, that does not mean to stop interviewing. You keep interviewing and you tell them, you know, let them know. Because a lot of times they'll ask you in some of these interview processes, do you have any offers? You can tell me I have some offers coming on the way. Or then you can let them know, you know, hey, I really like you guys, but I have been extending an offer. You can use this leverage. You don't have to tell them the amount or the offer. You can start seeing if they're going to, this will let you know if they want to hire you or not, because they'll start either playing ball or they'll get ghost. So leverage that first offer, man. It's just like dating. It's just like dating. Let's get to William. Hey, William, if you learn stuff about Intune and security groups, you could just do mobile device security. That's big. You know how many people get compromised just from using a company phone or their personal phone? I'm interested in getting into cybersecurity, but I can't work Saturday because of religion. Would that be possible? If so, what roles? Most jobs in cyber are just Monday through Friday. Now, you may have on call, and I know why. I know based on your name, I know that I think Sundown on Friday to whatever time after it passes on Saturday is when, like, you know, it's the Sabbath. So I understand what you're coming from. You can always express that to them up front if you want to, but I will believe, depending on the role, you may have to go on call before. So that's not necessarily working per se, unless like something happens. So you have to look at like into that way. And I would say, because I'm a little bit educated on this, I know for a fact it's just not you just resting like the whole day. You're probably doing something on that day. So you could kind of use your moral compass to see if, you know, if I had to log on and just do something really small that took me like 5 minutes of my time, would that really be considered work? You know, I mean, it's trade-offs on everything. But to answer your question, there are a lot of 8 to 5 Monday through Fridays where, like, you don't pick your stuff back up till Monday. Like I said, most of the time. You just have to find the roles that, you know, specify that and don't say, like, 24/7 or on-call stuff, you know, if you don't want to be put in that position. Just finished the Google cybersecurity certification. So which certification would you recommend to get familiar with the cloud? I always recommend the fundamental, whether it's GCP, Azure, or Microsoft, the fundamental ones. I would always say check those out because they typically just give you insight on what you can do in the cloud, and then you can build off those skill sets. And typically you don't really need more than that. After that, you'll probably just start making your own projects. I think Microsoft has some type of platform where you can do projects. AWS has CloudQuest, and GCP might have something. So that's how you kind of showcase your skill set. Hang on, let's see if this is going to come out. All right, guys, I'm trying to get my friend on. She just texted me saying she's on the live stream. So I'm trying to see if she want to come up so we can review some of this stuff. Hang on, she's responding. Let's see. Keep moving, air. Don't let the racist vibes get to you. Tons of jobs out here. Right, won't scoop you. Cool. Y'all make sure y'all hit that like button for me, please, man. Let's get these likes up, man. You know, let me see. Yeah, we got like, what, 45 people in here, but 15 likes. Y'all need me to do the Kevin Samuels where I just start playing music? And I don't start talking for nothing. Because I can. Look, let me show y'all what I can do. You know what I'm saying? While I'm waiting for these likes to get up. There we go. I see him going up. Let's go ahead and get it to like 30 or something. You know what I'm saying? It's some good info I'm trying to get out to YouTube for the free, man. So, you know, help me out. I'm helping y'all out. So let's do this thing. Pause that. Y'all hit the like button for me. I appreciate y'all. Let's get back into it. Oh, hang on. This is spicy. All right, never mind. She might not be able to join. Let me see. All right, sorry about that, y'all. JoJo says, just to give some backstory, I answer all the interviews' questions correctly. First interviewer told me they don't do that diversity inclusion mess. Here we hire high workers. Yeah, you actually can report stuff like that. I'm not too familiar with that, but you can actually report stuff like that. Yeah, William, you can get out of this. If you need help for real. Like I said, I do offer financing now to where we could work something out to help you out. I guarantee you got more skills than you think you got. Let's see. All right. Okay, Jonathan said he's regretful, but he needs to get experience somewhere and negotiating with no experience. No, no, you listen. If they like you, it don't matter about if you don't have experience. Negotiate anyway. I mean, it is what it is. You got to look at it like this, man. A lot of states are at will states. So let's say hypothetically, you know, you get laid off or something like that. You know, they may or may not give you a severance. Like, get all the money you can. They're making way more money off you than you're making from working with them. Okay, King 318 gave me that. The second interviewer kept calling me boy or Charlie Murphy and then asked me to look into a trade. And like, oh, yeah. Hey, you need to start taking, you should have been taking your phone out recording all this stuff. Like, these people need to be blasted. Like, if you want to hit me up behind the scenes and tell me about these people, I'll go do some research. I'll do some digging. I will blast these people on LinkedIn and everywhere. Names and everything. I would. I promise I would. Because I don't care. Because that stuff can't fly. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Ham 305. I will be transitioning out of the Navy within a year. I have a BS in psychology and MPA public administration. How should I get started? I've worked with people that have backgrounds like psychology and they have gotten cyber. So with you being in the Navy, what is it? Skillshare? It's not Skillshare. It's some type of program they got in the military for you all for like a last 3 or 6 months or whatever to where you could get a job at a company. Then they bring you on full time. I don't know the exact one, but I have an episode that I did with my friend Jennifer Jordan, maybe a year or two ago, and she got out the Navy and she's been in cyber. Speaking of, she's going to live a long time. She just hit me up. So check that out. So check that out. I don't want to butcher what that is supposed to be. But it's some type of program they have just for the military where you can actually work and get experience. And then the company brings you on and pay you good salary. Thanks for the super chat, Jonathan. Hey, you know what? Listen, man.
Hey, listen.
Actually, where the claps at? Where the clap? Where's the applause? There we go. Shout out to Milestone of Millions. The third interviewer told me if I was looking for a head, handout, he ain't got none at his company, and that he told his recruiter he was not hiring certain people. Wow. I mean, that's definitely discrimination. Look, you got enough to probably, I don't know how this works with employment law, but I'm pretty sure a lot of times when you do them job applications, they say, hey, we do not do discrimination, yada, yada, yada. However, what you just said is the opposite of whatever they got in that job application. That's crazy. I got some friends in Orlando, though. Depending on what you're interviewing for, maybe I could connect y'all to it. Maybe they can help you out, man. So you can get at me behind the scenes. My email's in the chat, and it's always in the description. Yeah, you got a lot of skills, bro. You can go system admin. If any of y'all follow me on Instagram, my story yesterday was with one of my clients, currently making $50,000. We've been getting interviews for roles paying between $80,000 and $110,000. So this is the thing. It's not really too much about the years of experience. Don't get caught in that trap thinking you can't apply to a job. Worst thing the job can tell you is no. If you got mid-level, senior-level, principal-level skills, they're going to pay you regardless. It's about highlighting your skill set on the resume, which I did. And now he's getting interviews. I'm going to reach out him today, see what he got, because he said he's about to get like 2 offers, and we really trying to hold out for that 110. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I made that video talking about how 75 G's changed my life. It can. When you go, after you pass 50 and you single and you making 70, 80, 90, you're good. Not like you're good to be complacent, but your life is drastically different than when you were making $50,000. All right, let's see. What would you do if you work for government and you're trying to do a career change to cybersecurity? Would you go to school or just focus on certs? What is your advice for me? If you're in the government, network and get the certifications. If you already have the degree and stuff like that, they'll probably, and if you already like, I don't know if you need a clearance or if you already have one, it should be relatively easy for you to transfer over into cybersecurity. Government jobs are easy because they don't always change with the latest technology. They're very regulated, so it's not a lot of stuff people can do on a network. It's easy. Trust me, I know, especially my dear help desk, it was super easy. CVE credit means someone found a vulnerability and was cited by CVE ID. Yeah, that's interesting. You have to highlight that on your resume. I think that's huge. You highlight that on your resume and showcase it. That's it. Like the certs, if you can find vulnerabilities, that means that's part of vulnerability management. And then you remediated and patched them and pushed out patches. You got skills. So don't really focus too much on the certs. There are people out here charging people 5-day boot camps to take Sec Plus. What somebody learned in 5 days that you don't already know? But that's not going to make or break you. Let's see. Hey, with all of us on your channel looking to get hands-on experience, have you ever thought about building a platform for us to learn on? I would rather pay you than somebody else. So, good question. So, I was just telling somebody, matter of fact, I think I was telling Christy this, that one of my goals for my company is to eventually transition out of, well, not necessarily transition, like I will probably make a course on like all the things I'm telling you guys to where I don't have to do that much with that day-to-day stuff. It'll just be more maybe one-on-one time. But the next thing is to be able to get this company to get contracts and be able to hire people. So therefore, I can give people chances that sometimes other people wouldn't give a chance and they can get their first experience from me. And I wouldn't be a person being mad if you worked for me 2-3 months and then got a new job. It would just be to be able to help. I could be able to mentor and I know what to look for and these type of roles. I have friends that do the same thing, the contracting stuff. So I really have to get on and figure out how to do it. But that's one of the things I want to do. And I do have some platforms that I want to do where it comes to like hands-on training with like a multitude of my network to being able to help you guys just like that. So I definitely, yeah, I've been working on that to answer your question. Let's see. Glad we met at Afrotech. Maybe I can be on an episode and talk life of a solution. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Hit me up. Hit me up behind the scenes. Like I said, I am trying to do more in-person stuff. So that's one of my strategies. If I can't do in-person, of course, we do the virtual stuff. But I do know the people want to see the in-person interactions. How do some of these recruiters recruit without having to go to school for that IT job? They just get like a business degree or something. It seems like the job to get is to be a recruiter. Ooh, good question. I wish I could bring my recruiter friends on right now. Matter of fact, let me see something if they are doing anything. Let's see something. I can get this question answered. I get this question answered because I have some episodes I did with recruiters. I don't necessarily believe you have to go to school to be a recruiter. But I think recruiters can be twofold. They can make a lot of money. But as you sometimes see, sometimes companies don't value recruiters like they should. And then they start slashing the recruiters fast when, honestly, it ain't really hard times. A lot of times the companies mismanage the money. And now they are the people that want to get the recruiters out of there sometimes. So that's what I think about the recruiting part of it. But there are skill sets needed to be a good recruiter. Then you also have talent sourcers. Then you got people in talent acquisition. It's a lot of different stuff. Shout out to my girl right here. Listen, I always tell people when people come to me and I don't think I'm the best fit to help them with their pivot, I always send them to her. She has her own company. Look, matter of fact, let's go to it right now. I'm going to show y'all. She's the GOAT. Hang on. Let's see if it's going to load up. Oh, there we go. I'm going to show you guys my friend's site real quick. Because for me, if anybody really knows me, when I decided to do this, it was never about making a lot of money. If you look at what I charge now, it's not a lot to compare what I could be charging people. So this is my friend, Tierra, and she is the GOAT. Like, she is the GOAT. Like, look at that. Look at all these things that she's did. Matter of fact, let me zoom in so y'all can really see. This is her. So she does it all. So if you need help, look at that. 40% salary increase. $30,000 salary increase. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, she works. I work better with people that are technical and are trying to maybe go into like a technical role. She's better at taking people from non-technical positions and people that work in technical positions, but she's better with that and helping them. So that's why sometimes I go to them, I tell them to go to her, because she could be a person that can help them better than I can when I'm very good at what I know how to do. I know I make a good resume, but she's better at like helping them with other stuff. Here's Crystal. For an experienced accounting and finance professional, what would be a good starting role to transition into the field of cybersecurity? You actually have a leg up. Finance is one of the easier places to get into cyber. I've worked for 3 finance companies, and I've had a couple of clients that I've helped transition over from being like doing like bank teller type stuff to going into finance. So if you're doing accounting and financing, I would say look into auditing, look into governance, risk, and compliance. There's a course by Simply Cyber that I always tell like all my clients to do, and it can open you up into how to do compliance and also look into something like security audits, IT audits. Because you already do it right now when it comes to money. So you already got the skill set. You just got to know the terms when it comes to cybersecurity. So I would look into that. The Terminator says, I'm currently a business system analyst, but have done a little IM with the GRC team. I plan on doing the Google cybersecurity certification, and I'll finish my master's in August. Can this get me in? Guys, I think you guys are always focus on whatever you're learning to see if that'll get you in, right? I can't just tell you if you go finish a course and get a master's is going to get you in. Like, but the fact that you've already worked, did some stuff GRC wise at work, that's working experience that you got paid for. So that's what I would tell you to highlight on your resume. So I believe you could do it. You actually probably were better just learning from them than going out and necessarily just getting the master's and all everything else, because you would have built a relationship and either probably been on their team or been able to go do that similar job at another company because you know how it goes. So that's what I would say. Don't focus too much on going to just get everything. Don't get me wrong, they're good to have when you don't have a foundation. But if you already have some skill sets, try to look into that. Ask B, how's it going? Barbecue, have cybersecurity co-op, basically 1 year experience and CS degree, graduate next year, getting cert this year. Yes, I do, because you're already in a co-op. Diamond Princess, I just got my very first role, very entry-level project field tech, but ends in July. Should I transfer into help desk or wait? Just do Josh's course. If so, what would be the next role at the field tech? What do you want to do? I think that's the question, number one. Number two, always try to learn as many skills as you can. If you're whatever you're interested in, if you don't have those skills, try to find something that helps you get those skills. I know Josh's course will help you get some of those skills. Let me see. Oh, Christy, you missed me back. Let me see. If so, what would be my next role at the field tech? Yeah, so that's what I would say. Okay. Shout out to Nanopoku for pretty much, she said what I said already to CISA, but I was talking about auditing. From your services, how can you help me achieve cyber engineering role? Something I feel like I'm all over the place. The way I help people like you is we focus in on what your skill sets are, and we go for what skills you have, and we look at those roles. Like I said, similar to boxing, right? You're trying to do all this other stuff. I come in and fix you, and I say, hey, you got good feet, you got a good jab, you got a good right hand. Let's work on making those your best 2 punches, and we go from there. Mario Forte. Shout out to Mario. Mario reached out to me about a week or two ago, and he got another job and he got a salary increase. So shout out to him. One thing I recommend to people who don't have any tech experience of any kind, do courses, then they write about these courses over LinkedIn by creating infographics of the material you learn. I'm glad you said that. Branding yourself is very big and is key, right? Because you are exposing yourself to a different audience. I have people in the past consulted with, and I told him, hey, so let's get active on LinkedIn. Let's post stuff. Let's post what projects you're working on. You may think that it's just not the most sophisticated project or whatever it is, but you're doing something instead of doing nothing. Shout out to Destiny. Destiny started that earlier this year, and now she's in security. Every weekend, she was working on a different project. She was researching something. Let me get some water real quick. Oops. So, yeah, shout out to Mario for that. Oh, she tried to call me. Let me tell. 1 second, y'all. I'm trying to actually bring somebody up. All right, let's see what she say. All right. There you go. Hey, this is the comment. Skill bridge is what it's called for people transitioning out. Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all so much. My CEO not approving the skill bridge due to lack of staffing. That's trash. I plan on getting the 2 Google certs. Man, she not home. Boo. I plan on getting the 2 Google certs and their new cyber one. Then get on help desk and study for Security Plus. You will probably have more skills than you need besides just going help desk. Think bigger. You probably will be able to do a job that's better than help desk by accumulating those skills in those roles. And also, Coursera does help you, I think, with a resume and help you with some career type stuff when you do these courses, these Google courses. And you got skills for being in the criminal justice. Can you show me a resume from help desk to sysadmin? I think I got some. I didn't label what roles these people landed. What's a good IR project that I can showcase on my resume on LinkedIn? Good question. So you would have to, first of all, you have to simulate some type of attacker or something that actually needs to be incident response. So that's the first thing. I would research these different breaches. And this is one of the reasons why I tell people to stay current with security news. Research some of these breaches and try to reenact them on your own home lab, and then document them. Hey, you know, we fished a user. We knew their MFA code and we made them hit okay. Like, I'm just talking about the Uber breach, right? And now you're going to act like the user did lateral movement and got some data. Now you're going to figure out on your end, on IR, what I need to do about the user, what data they get, how to clean up my network, all these different things that you want to ask yourself when it comes to IR and the scope of everything. That's what you're going to do. And you could talk about that on your resume, talk about that in the interview. Guarantee that for a person who maybe don't have a lot of experience, that's still going to impress them, the fact that you took the time out to do that. When I was interviewing last year and I was telling people about, I actually did one of Josh's things, and I was talking about how I had to set up Sentinel. And now I did some stuff outside of Josh's thing, like I built another logic app for a threat feed to come in. Needless to say, don't do that because it costs a lot of money. they were impressed that I took the time out to make my own home lab.
Let's see, what is this going on up here?
All right, let's see. So I hope that answers your question, Justin. I'm planning to take the CCNA, then SEC Plus. Is this a good path as a beginner? I heard I should skip the A Plus. I agree about skipping the A Plus, but based on the certifications, it really depends on what you want to do. I mean, CCNA is cool, SEC Plus is cool, but you have to figure out what do you want to do with that. Because you could spend time learning this and this and then still feel like you didn't learn anything if you're just passing the certifications. See, I'm telling you, man, a lot of times I don't even have to look at the comments because I know I'm on it because somebody going to say something I already said, because I see I'm scrolling down. Okay, we actually are caught up. We are actually caught up on everything. I had a resume come in. Let me see if I can get his resume in. I don't have time to redact this information. So I'm gonna try to do this, guys. This is Kevin. Let me see. Let me get this out the way. Can't see. All right. Okay, y'all. So, hey, sorry. Hopefully, man, I don't want to do it like this. Let me see something real quick, y'all. He got a, well, let me see. He sent it to me. All right. It's cool. If not, I can always go back out of this video and take this part out. But let's present this real quick, guys. This is going to be a live resume review. Like I said, I do have another plan to do review some more. So let's check this out. Okay, this is a guy that sent me his resume. So first things first, this is cool. I like it to be a little bit more centralized. For me, nitpicking because of space reasons. Now, I don't like this right here. I feel like it's too high. I believe this should be at the bottom. Now, though you have projects right here, every recruiter that sees this doesn't have time to click on this thing and go review this project. So I would advise you summarize the project, and then also they still have the GitHub link if they want to look at it for some more. So summarize these projects, 4 or 5 bullet points, and then get out your way. Now, when it comes to this, let's look at this experience real quick. Created and made public tutorials on the following topic. You should have put topics right there. There's a little typo. Microsoft Azure Community Network. Okay. So I'm trying to see. Hang on. Self-employed. I think this is. It's not necessarily speaking to everything you would do like in a help desk role right here. So you definitely want to make this be a little bit more achievement based. Let's see. Also, you want to start every sentence with an action verb. Let's see. Okay. All right. It's not bad right here. It's not bad at all. Let's go to this one. You know, that's why I'm saying my critique was like, hey, have action verbs on here. Asset protection manager. This is good too. Develop. Like I said, the same thing. Now, here's the issue too. Skills should not be this low. Your skills actually should be where your education is. And I'm going to tell you why, because like I said, recruiter got 6-7 seconds to get on here and look at this, and they want to see your skills. Like I said, they're not going to click on this. They're just going to keep on scrolling down. And sometimes I do embellish. If I got some guys that are doing help desk stuff, I might change to IT analyst, assist admin based on what they did. So you want to make, like what I do is I have guys, I'll label their experience or say achievements. So I'll make it like something they achieved in the role. And so it looks like it's a little bit more highlight versus you are an extraordinary professional versus just kind of like the bullet points. It's just a little razzle dazzle. That's all it is. But all in all, I don't really find nothing wrong with the format. Simple is good. A lot of times people get caught up in trying to make things real pretty, but that don't really help you with doing anything. So I would say you just need to highlight this a little bit more because people don't have time to do all this stuff. Like I said, when you do the job applications, let me stop sharing. When you do the job applications, they do have options for you to put a different link on there that goes to like GitHub where they can go review it. And when you get in those technical and those director level interviews, that's when they probably have reviewed your stuff a little bit more in depth. Say, hey, I seen you did stuff on GitHub because you tell me about this project. So that's just a little bit of advice, Kevin. So hopefully that helped you out. Let's see. I've seen a lot of people say skip A plus after I had already passed my 1101 test. Would I be wasting my time finishing A plus? I mean, you already started it. You could finish it. The only reason I say skip A plus because I don't see a lot of the benefit for it. If you don't really want to do help desk, if you just understand the bare minimum stuff about computers, you should be okay. And you could, I'm always, I really say that entry level cloud certification is better than A+, but that's just me saying that. Seen on CNN yesterday, 700K cyber jobs are unfilled. What do you think about that? I think it's hogwash. I actually have a video where I kind of talked about how they conflate all these different roles. And also, I don't know if they're talking about countrywide or they're talking about worldwide. So I think it's one of those issues. Let's see. Before we go, let's see. I want to read this because it make it help somebody. It's about like how to know if your company is planning layoffs. And let's look at this really quick. And then I'll probably let you guys get back to your day. I really appreciate y'all for showing up, though. Like I am, like I said, once I get everything, like here's the plan, guys. I'm working on getting some sponsors for the pod and other stuff where I can outsource some more of the editing and a lot of other stuff to do so I can really just focus on the content. If I could just focus on the content, I probably can crank out a lot of stuff for you guys. Like honestly, the editing and doing everything else and being the army of one, it's what takes me so long to do a lot of things. On top of, you know, I'm still the person that is doing stuff in my business. On top of working a full-time job and being a father with my kids and my girl. So, let's see. From the start of the year through the end of May, companies announced plans to cut 417,500 jobs, up 315% from the same period last year, according to Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. Warn notices can help workers scope out if layoffs are underway. There are other ways to tell if layoffs are coming, and some will send shivers down your spine, said career advisor Susie Welch. All right, let's look at this. The start of the year was plagued by wave of playoffs. The start of the year was plagued by waves of layoffs through the end of May. Companies announced plans to cut 417,500 jobs. We just read that. Why they reiterated that again? Big names like Disney, Google, Lyft, and Meta were among those. Figuring out if your company might be next isn't easy, but there are some clues. Let's see what the clues are. All right. We got this. We know about layoffs, the FYI. But every industry except for education, government, industrial, manufacturing, utilities has seen an increase in layoffs this year, according to Challenger, Gray, and Christmas data. Retailers laid off 45,168 workers through May, while financial firms announced 36,937 cuts from the firm found. The media industry slashed 17,436, its highest year-to-date tally on record. Overall layoffs declined to 1.6 million in April from 1.8 million in March, according to latest figures from job openings and labor turnover. All right, so so-called warn notices can help workers figure out if layoffs are coming. Let's see. Warn notices get their name from worker adjustment and retraining notification act of 1988. A labor protection law requires that companies with 100 or more employees to provide a 60 calendar day notice of planned closing and layoffs. That's key right there. Look into this, guys, because a lot of times, sometimes I know for a fact, I ain't really get a 60 calendar day notice. And I didn't know that when I got laid off. I went in one day and they was like, yeah, you laid off. So they didn't do it right. In her video, Tu suggests searching for warn notices in your state and others where your company does business to find the state government websites that list companies letting go employees. However, sometimes companies can avoid releasing these notices by spreading out the layoffs. So maybe you're going to lay off 75, so you say 49 one month and 26 the next to avoid warn notice. Yeah, that's crazy. Let's see what else they got. The law also protects employers by providing exceptions such as unforeseen circumstances where the company could not have been given a two-month notice to employees. All of a sudden, something happens. Demand for your product does a sudden nosedive. You have to lay off workers and you don't have time to get them. Yeah, see, that's one of those legality BS things that they can do. She clarified that this exception is not a solution for companies undergoing bankruptcies because you can't have anticipated the bankruptcy 60 days out and decline to give notice. Unless there's rigorous enforcement of this, there certainly can be circumstances where companies should have given notice and didn't. More ways to scope out layoffs. All right. Pretend you're an investor and follow news on your company. Sometimes the earliest canary in the coal mine are the industry media. Well said. Monitor your company online by reading what industry analysis and other experts are saying on different platforms about its finance and prospects. Subscribe to newsletters, blogs, and outlets that cover your industry to keep a closer look at trends. That's also true. Really, shout out to E. If y'all remember that episode, me and E was talking about what to look for when you're interviewing with different companies. If you want to ask them about their finances and if you're concerned about potential layoffs, you want to know about those things and read up about them. Because sometimes you can get a job just to get laid off. I've seen it plenty of times on LinkedIn. Pay attention to your company's financial health. Workers can know how the company is doing financially by paying attention to earnings reports and guidance. And yeah, those quarterly meetings and all these things to do about what the money the company made, pay attention to them. When you know the bonus is not coming in, it's getting a little shaky. Watch your boss for clues. A trusting relationship with your supervisor can possibly impact your work life on several fronts. You can hear of an incoming layoff earliest from them, as they will know before you. Your boss is a human being. A boss will share the information with members of the team that they really trust. That's also true. All right. So we're going to stop sharing that. And yeah, guys, I think that was like a beneficial post. Let me see if I can find one else. I kind of want to talk about this really quick on the live stream because I thought it was hilarious to me. Right. Here we go. This is the last thing I want to present. Jacob says, thinking of going to WGU for cyber, what do you think of them? I think they're cool. Andre Rodriguez says, I have a cybersecurity degree, A+, Tech Plus, and CEH. Still can get into cyber. I even pay for professional resume writer. It's been so discouraging. But here's the key, though. All those things don't matter. And I know that might make you mad saying that. What type of skills do you have to do the cyber role you want to do? 9 times out of 10, and I also tell people this, to be careful about this with cyber. Cyber is a little bit different from other areas where you have to write resumes. How I kind of went through that resume I showed earlier, I did it for a reason, because that's typically how a technical cyber resume would look like. Pretty much technical skills, projects or no projects, and experience. It's not like going to be rocket science with all these different wording and trying to make it look cute. They just want to know what you can do. Do you have any content on a self-taught roadmap for cybersecurity? I do have a webinar about how to get into cybersecurity with no experience. And I have another roadmap, I think, video that I did like some kind of years ago. So you can check that out. Also, the presentation that I did in that webinar is in the description, so you can download it. So it can show you how to go the self-taught way. But it is very trying. And if you're going to go self-taught, you got to be dialed in to network and really work your butt off. Remote work is shaky. It's more hybrid roles coming up. My skills come from a lot of projects and labs. I just don't have professional experience. Okay. If you have the relative projects to the roles you want to land, then it's probably your resume, and it's also you not networking effectively. If you have at least your master's and all that stuff, you should be able to land something. I do think, because even if you have experience, right, there's a part you can do with recent grads called related coursework. If your courses were related to stuff that you see in cyber now, then they should help you when it comes to the resume. So 9 times is your resume. If you want to book a consultation and we could talk about it, feel free. My link to book a consultation will be in description, or let me see if I can. I might just put it down here. Give me a second. And I'll get it to y'all in the chat if y'all want to book like some one-on-one time. Let's see. Do 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 do. All right. So this is my link. You can book a consultation on there. It's also the coaching price. Like I said, if you did want to do coaching, reach out to me first so I can make sure you're a good fit. And if you don't have the money to pay, we can work on the financing plan. Now, last thing I want to show you guys probably don't always look at all my comments, but the people that follow me on social media know I went in on this. And here it is. All right. I'm going to show you what my post said, but this is something I saw that was stupid. He told me, whoever this person was, your show really needs more diversity. Having people of just one race makes you part of the problem, champ. And I told him, nice try. When this field is dominated by white males, I'm part of the solution. And that's also really bearing credence to what JoJo was talking about earlier with the racist interviews. So let me show you what I said, because I want to go off on this. I even posted like how it's only like 9% of people in cyber are black. You know what's in the 70s? White males. Like I said, my platform is this from one of the main contributors that has contributed to black people. Let me zoom in so y'all can see this. Making sure that has contributed for black people not being in cybersecurity role, and its exposure. Exposure is one of the main factors that our kids are not looking to getting into this field at an early age. And that's true. I didn't know about cyber till college. With this platform, I've introduced many different roles to my audience that they would not know about had it not been for this channel. I feel people from all backgrounds get jobs. I get messages on LinkedIn from people that look like me thanking me for this channel. I have testimonials from people I've helped change their life with helping them get in the cybersecurity or tech role. So if you're fighting a good fight or helping us and have more diverse workforce in cyber, then salute to you. If you aren't, then I'll just tell you to reference the saying of my good friends from D-Generation X. And you already know what DX used to tell them people. So yeah, man, people was three hot talking about that. Well, actually, I had a lot of support on that post, right? And I just have to like highlight all the time, like if you were doing something for us, like don't feel bad. Like I help out a lot of people, but primarily I know this helps out my community because I know what my metrics look like. Most of my consultations are men and women that look like me. I have clients that are also like Hispanic or other races for it. And I've never turned anyone away. I've always helped them. I've always been nice to everyone. It, you know, it's just the fact that people will try to come on here and tell me who I need to interview or stuff like that. But they don't understand. Like a lot of times, if I didn't bring these people on my platform, one, they probably would never be on anybody's platform. Two, some people may not even know they could do these roles. Like, I have a different strategy. I'm not always looking for, oh, I don't necessarily go on Instagram and say, this person got 40,000 Instagram followers. Let me go try to get them on. No, I just look at people. I see what they do. If their role interests me. And also, when the ladies, you know, if they're nice looking, I bring them on because it's also marketing to let the women know, hey, you don't have to just be a nurse. Or this other job, you can go find your flexible job being cyber and still look nice and have a nice life. So that's kind of what I've been doing. Same with the fellas. I got us coming up too. Like, you know, with the fellas, hey, man, you got to be a drug dealer. You can make good money just being in a cybersecurity or whatever type of tech role, and you'll be straight. You don't have to necessarily, you know, break your back every day. And this is not talking about the blue collar workers. I'm talking about more so like lower level jobs. Like, now we need these people, but in the sense of how their industries view them when it comes to like the retail, they don't view the workers that work for them the right way. So, and I also know as being the person that needs to work retail, if you do want somebody, whether, you know, whatever you identify with, whether you like men or women, a lot of times they don't want to give you a shot if you work in retail unless like you're a manager. So I'm trying to show people how to do the best for them and something that we need to be in because we are very good at this stuff. A lot of breaches happen because they do not have a diverse team. Therefore, they also have all these things that they miss because they don't think of them. We think about stuff all the time. That's why it's not a lot of stuff that happens to Black people that happens to everybody else, because we just live by a different set of rules when it comes to survival. And we're just a little bit more conservative and a little bit more smarter when it comes to everything. I got a couple of comments. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get out of here. Black Jack Yak says he feels threatened for him to make a comeback at your channel. He's the problem, not the channel. And he's not saying a word for a white dominated atmosphere. So he's a hypocrite, right? That was a good response. White people complain when we try to make strikes in our own right. We don't. That's why they say we're lazy. Oh, strides. Yeah, I should have picked that up. I think that's Sheehy Petway. Don't feel discouraged, but I have search degrees and experience in cyber field, and I'm still having trouble landing the role. It's tough out here. Keep going. Yeah, even with all that, it makes it tough. And that's when it goes to basically location, city, industry, all those different things. And that's why I tell people you have to really be strategic in your job searching. That's why sometimes you may need a professional. I know how to just network. I know how to find people. I know how to find the roles that I'm interested in, and I know how to get interviews for them. And that's a skill set in itself. Is it harder to land a cybersecurity role than a software engineer role? I don't know much more about a lot about software engineering, to be honest. I know a lot of cybersecurity jobs are looking for people that are software engineers that know cybersecurity. So I got you on that one. I'm going to start looking for Texas, California, and Washington State positions and pray they do relocation with higher positions. Yeah, they do. A lot of companies out here do relocations. The fact that you are getting interviews mean that you have a decent enough resume and probably a decent enough skill set. So I will say always expand your horizons. They are definitely looking for people in certain companies, and they will pay you a good money. So, yeah, man, definitely do that. Do not just limit yourself to one state. A matter of fact, Texas probably is better for cyber than Florida, because you got Austin, you got Dallas. Let's see. Give me three certificates that can help me get a solid job in Blue Team with no experience. Thought I have. No, that's not how that works. I have videos on this, but that's definitely not how it works. I can't give you three certs that's going to help you get a job with no experience. Because even when you get the certification, there's still other parts of you having to do, like when it has to go to doing getting an interview or whatever. But if you want to start off with just one, Blue Team level one, that's what you should start off with. So the consultation is just a 1v1 to get understanding of goal I'm trying to achieve. Yeah. Because sometimes you may be closer than what you need. Sometimes you may not need my services. Sometimes you may just need reinforcement. So that's what it's for. Before you go, I greatly and do me greatly appreciate you and your platform, your honesty, your time, and your huge heart for helping others like myself. Nah, man, anytime. Here's the last question. I think an unknown or popular way of getting a cyber role is joining MSSP and going to the NOC and moving laterally with the company. Now, one of the client I spoke about earlier that's about to move into the security team side, he actually is in the NOC, but he's been doing security stuff with the team. So, yeah, NOCs are actually one of those entry-level roles that have a low barrier to entry as well that a lot of people, they really kind of sleep on in a sense. So, let me see. Let me turn this down. What's the song we played last time? Let's see. Let's close this stuff out. I don't know what's going on. I appreciate y'all, man, for tuning in with me. It's been like just a midday stream, and I think it did pretty decent for me not to even plan it. But shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to the textuals. Y'all know what to do, man. Y'all know where to find me. Follow me on all my socials. I will have the links to Level Careers, Course Careers, and even Springboard if you want a little bit more learning to be geared towards what you want to do in cyber. You need a little bit more structure, then check out springboard.com with their cybersecurity bootcamp. But like I said, the more affordable options will be Level Careers and Course Careers. But like I always say, let's stay textual. It's your boy HD, and I'm out.